So first of all, thank you so much for having me. I feel very honored to be starting this year's series. And it was not difficult to get here. So I'm grateful that it wasn't raining. I wasn't sure if it would rain or snow today. So the California gal inside of me was glad that the weather cooperated. And part of that will actually tie into a little bit of what I would like to learn about tonight, which is really connected to the fact that just last week we celebrated the Rosh Chodesh of Chodesh Kislev, which is really the cusp. We had a two-day Rosh Chodesh, so we had one day that was technically part of the previous month of Cheshvan, and then one day that was really the beginning of this new month of Kislev. And so I was hoping to spend a little bit of time tonight discussing the message of this month, and really more so this time of year, the Tkufat HaShanah, of really the winter months in the Jewish calendar beyond the Chanukiah and the Latkes coming up in a couple of weeks. What are other messages and ideas we can take away from this time of year? So in order to do so, we're going to look a little bit at the themes of the general Jewish calendar, and then the themes of the Chagim, the Jewish holidays, and how those themes are carried through into the Jewish months, and then in particular, the months of this time of year, the winter months. So I won't ask anybody to read, because as I said before, that always gives me heart palpitations. If anyone would like to read, or if anyone has a question, there's absolutely no guarantee that I have an answer, but I really enjoyed exploring these ideas, and so if you have a contribution, please feel free to speak up. So first we'll begin with the idea of the calendar. And as some of you may know, the idea of the Jewish calendar is a dual-faceted one. It's neither entirely a solar calendar based on the sun and the seasons, nor is it entirely a lunar calendar based on the months of the year as determined by the phases of the moon. It incorporates aspects of both. And we see that throughout Chumash, there are references to both the solar aspects of the month and the lunar aspects of the year. So first, if we look at some of the references to the solar aspects of the year, we see in Shemot, when Hashem is telling Bnei Yisrael that they're about to be redeemed and led out of Eretz Mitzrayim, he says, "Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv." Today you are leaving the land of Egypt in the month of spring. Springtime and all the ideas of seasons, as we'll see throughout many of the other sources, are references to this idea of the solar aspect of the calendar, because the seasons are determined by the position of the sun relative to the earth. A little bit of physics, and we'll incorporate all sorts of different subjects as we move along. But as we'll see, the seasonal aspects are connected to the solar theme. And similarly in Devarim, when Hashem is telling Bnei Israel about their ultimate arrival in Eretz Israel, he tells, describes the land of Eretz Israel, and he says, "Va'aretz asher atem uvrim shama lirishta, eretz harim uvka'ot lematar shamayim tishte mayim, eretz asher Hashem lokacha dorishu tatamir enei Hashem lokacha ba mireishit hashana v'ad acharit hashana." And again, we have this theme talking about the agricultural and topographical aspects of the land of Eretz Israel, and it's connected to this solar theme of the calendar. The calendar year, which extends from the beginning of the year till the end of the year, right, 364 or 65 days, based on the cycle of the sun, based on the cycle of the earth around the sun. And then we have other sources which tell us about the lunar aspects of the Jewish calendar, which have to do with the months of the year and the phases of the moon. Most famously, at the beginning of Shemot, we have the very first mitzvah that Hashem commands the Bnei Israel, the idea of Rosh Chodesh, HaChodesh Hazal Lachem, Rosh Chadashim, Rishon Hu Lachem, L'Chodshei HaShana. Specifically, the month of Nisan is the beginning of the biblical year when we count by months. But here we again have the idea where Hashem is saying your calendar is not only determined by the phases of the sun and the seasonal cycles, but also by the phases of the moon and that monthly cycle. And again, we have this idea repeated in Bamidbar, where we talk, where we learn about the Korbanot Musaf that we bring on Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodeshem, Takrivu Ola LaHashem, Parim Bnei Bakar, Shnayim Va'ilachot, Vas. We say it every Rosh Chodesh and Musaf. Right? Again, we have this idea that there's some significance to the beginning of the month. There's some time significance associated both with the sun and with the moon. So that is really where we begin our discussion, this idea that Judaism, and in particular the idea of time, the temporal nature of our lives, is determined both by the solar aspects and by the lunar aspects of the calendar. And that theme continues into the Chagim, into the Jewish holidays. They also have these multiple identities, which are represented by their multiple names. So this isn't reading Hebrew, but if anyone wants to suggest or throw out different names of the Chagim, in particular the Shalosh Regalim, any suggestions of names? I specifically didn't say what they are, so you can say any of the big three or any other names if anybody wants. Okay. That was a synonym, right? A different name, a nickname. What are the more well-known names of the Shalosh Regalim? Okay, everybody's going for the fun ones. Nobody wants to say Pesach cleaning or building a sukkah or learning all night on Shavuos, right? So we have the big three names, right? Chag HaPesach, Chag HaShavuot, and Chag HaSukkot. And then we also have all these alternative names, Chag HaAsiv, Chag HaKatzir, Chag HaAviv, all of these ideas, and many more. We have Zman Toratina, the idea of the significance and the energy of a certain time period, and when we enter that time period, how we can reconnect to those themes and those ideas. So the Chagim really extend this idea of the dual nature of the Jewish calendar into the multifaceted nature of each of the Jewish holidays. And we see that again reflected in the Lashon, in the language of the Chumash itself. So if you look at source number 5 in Parshat Mishpatim, is the very first time that we actually discuss the Shalosh Regalim, and we see the beginning of one theme, one stream of approach to the Chagim. Shalosh Regalim tachog li b'shana et chag ha-matzot tishmor shivat yamim tol ha-matzot kasher tziviticha lemo'ed chodesh ha-aviv. Ding, ding, ding. Kivo yatzat mimitzrayim velo yareu pnei reikam. Now another one, v'chag ha-katzir, ding, 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 v'kurei ma'asacha asher tizra b'sada, v'chag ha-asif, finally, b'tzita shana b'asabcha et ma'asacha min asada. We have these three times of year when we're supposed to be ola l'ragal, come to Yerushalayim, and how are they described? They're described in terms of their agricultural significance, the springtime, the Chag HaKatzir, when you are going to originally harvest and cut down the wheat, and finally Chag HaAsif, when you gather all the fruits, the final harvest, really, of the primary vegetables and the fruits. Everybody likes to joke that in Los Angeles I live in the valley, that it's as if I live on a farm. I really don't. For anyone who's ever come to visit, it's nothing like a farm. But I do love planted things and connections to sociocultural ideas, particularly of times past. So you'll see some more of that creep in as we continue. But really, this first source, when we first are presented with these different ideas of the Chagim in Parshat Mishpatim, we have the ideas as they connect to the agricultural part of the year. And then in Parshat Emor and Sefer Vayikra, which is in source 6, we are again told about each of the three Shalosh Regalim. Three regal, Shalosh, yes, okay. Each of the Shalosh Regalim. And this time they're themes are layered. We not only hear about their agricultural significance, but also we start to understand a bit about the cultural and historical significance for the Jewish people. So first and foremost, we have in the first section that you see, Chag HaPesach. So in Pasuk Hey, Bachodesh HaRishon. So this time, we're following which theme? The lunar theme. We're talking about months, as opposed to the solar theme, which is about seasons, right? So Bachodesh HaRishon, Ba'arba'asar LaChodesh Bin Ha'arba'im, Pesach LaHashem, Ba'chamisha'asar Yom LaChodesh HaZag. Again, Chodesh, what are we learning about when we're following the lunar train of thought? Chag HaMatzot. The cultural and historical significance. Chag HaMatzot LaHashem, Shivat Yamim, Matzot Tochelu. And then when we come to the end of the description of Chag HaPesach in Pasuk Yud, we are reminded of the agricultural underpinnings of this Chag. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, ki tavo'u el ha'aretz asher ani notein lachem uktzartem et k'tira v'ha'avitem et omer rishit k'tirchem al ha'kohen. We're reminded that underneath the cultural and historical significance of Chag HaMatzot as Zecher Liyetziat Mitzrayim, there's also this very current, very present agricultural sense. When they get to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to need to bring the Korban HaOmer, which was the beginning of their wheat crop. we see the same kind of pattern in the next set of psukim, beginning with Pasuk Tet Vav, where we learn about Chag HaShavuot. Usfartam lachami macharat ha-shabbat, miyob maviyachem et omer ha-tinufa, sheva shabbatot tmimot tihiyana. Ad mimacharat ha-shabbat ha-shvi'i, tisperu 50 yom, v'yikravtam mincha chadasha la-Hashem. And here, we obviously don't have the idea of months because it's referenced based on Pesach, but the idea of weeks is again connected not to seasons, which have to do with times of year, but a more specific numerical count that has to do with the phase of the moon, and particularly when it tells us, in another source, which we'll look at in a moment, it tells us which day of the month, right? And what do we have to do on this chag? Mimoshvotichem tavil lechem tinufashtaim. Shnei esronim solotiana cham. And again, we're reminded of the agricultural underpinnings of this chag. What is the essence of Chag HaShavuot? It's the Korban Shtei HaLechem, which was brought from the beginning of the barley harvest. So we have a different agricultural reminder that's underlying Chag HaShavuot, which is commemorating the idea of counting the Shavuot from Pesach until Matan Torah. And finally, in the last segment, we have Chag HaSukkot, beginning with Pasuk Lamed Daled. We'll read, Daber al b'nei Yisrael le'mor b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh ha-shvi'i. Again, we have the month. Chodesh ha-shvi'i hazah, Chag HaSukkot shivat yamim la-Hashem. Right? We know that the holiday is connected to the lunar month. Ach b'chamisha asar, sorry, skipping to Pasuk Lamed Tet, is where it tells us about the Chag itself, beyond the Korban. Ach b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh ha-shvi'i, be'isabchem et tivuat ha-aretz, tachogu et Chag HaShem shivat yamim, be'yom ha-rishon shabbaton, uv'yom ha-shmini shabbaton, ulekachtem lachem b'yom ha-rishon peri et hazar v'chapot samarim v'anaf et avot v'arvi nachal, v'simachtem lifnei ha-shem lokechem shivat yamim. So here again, we have the same structure. We're told first of the lunar time and the fact that it's connected to a month. We're reminded of the agricultural significance and told this time it's not a korban we bring to Hashem, but it's a similar idea. We're bringing something that is agriculturally related. We're taking all of these various kinds of plants that grow, plants or fruits, the arba minim, and using that as part of what is significant and special about Chag HaSukkot. And finally, here we have the order a little bit out of order, but finally in the last couple of psukim, why do we celebrate this chag? Basukot tishvu shivat yamim, kol ezrach b'Yisrael yishvu basukot lema'an yedu dorotechem, ki basukot toshavti et b'nei Yisrael, behotzi'i otam me'eretz Mitzrayim, ani Asher Elokeichem. And we have this idea, once again, the reminder of the cultural and the historical significance of Chag HaSukkot, that when Hashem took b'nei Yisrael out of Eretz Mitzrayim, he had them dwell in Sukkot, in the Midbar. So again, just as we had the solar and lunar aspects of the overall Jewish calendar and its structure, we see those themes carried on and also expanded in the roles and our understandings of the different chagim, the Jewish holidays, as we understand both their agricultural significance in terms of the korbanot that were brought and what was happening at that time of year, and also the historical significance in terms of why the chag was initiated to begin with. And the fascinating thing, and we'll see this repeated as we look more deeply and zoom into the months of the year, is that the messages are very similar, if not identical. If we look at Pesach, for example, it's Chag HaAviv, as we said, right? The holiday of springtime, which is the time of rebirth of nature. Everything is beginning to grow again. The trees are budding. Things are blossoming. The new shoots are just starting to peep out from the frozen sod if you're here on the East Coast, and from the not frozen sod if you're in Los Angeles. And on a parallel note, we have the nation of B'nai Israel, the Jewish people, are being born during the time, Tkufa of Chag HaPesach. They were literally leaving Mitzrayim. They talk about Yetziyah Mitzrayim as being, you know, Kechavli Leida, and arriving in the Midbar. This was the beginning of their journey in their life as the Jewish nation. So really those two work in parallel. Similarly with Chag HaShavuot, that time of year is the very end of the wheat harvest, which was considered a very intense, concentrated, focused time of year, because the wheat had to be harvested during the very short time available between when it became ripe and when things began to get too hot that the wheat would actually dry up in the fields and no longer be of use to anyone. And so they had a very short period, about 6 to 8 weeks, which makes sense with counting sphera, during which to harvest that wheat. And so it was a very focused, intense on actualizing this goal of getting in that wheat harvest. And we see a similar idea with the Chag of Shavuot itself, this idea of working towards this very focused goal of Matan Torah and ultimately getting that product of Matan Torah. And finally, with Chag HaSukkot, we also see this parallel in terms of the agricultural piece is a culmination of an entire year of work in the fields and pruning and watering and weeding and harvesting. It's all coming in and everything's being sorted and put into the cellar put away for the long winter ahead. And the busy season of the summer is drawing to a close. And so too, the busy season of the Chagim in Tishrei and things like that are drawing to a close with Chag HaSukkot. And also for Bnei Yisrael, the multiple years of upheaval with the Makot and Yetziat Mitzrayim and Matan Torah and the first year and two in the desert, which are particularly busy if you look in Chumash. After that, they kind of settle down to a long stretch of wandering in the desert during which they're hanging out in their Sukkot. So we see, again, those themes really match up really beautifully and complement each other in terms of the agricultural and the historical/cultural significance of the Chagim. And that carries itself into the next section, which is really the months of the year. And specifically, based on the title of the shiur said, their names. And this is actually something that I found particularly fascinating. The months of the year in most of Tanakh are referred to by numbers. In most of Chumash, actually, are referred to by numbers. We know that Nisan, based on that Pasuk in Shemot that we read at the beginning, the idea of Rosh Chodashim, Nisan is the first. Other than that, we really just count from Nisan, right? It's the third month from Nisan, it's the sixth month from Nisan, it's the eighth month from Nisan. The months don't really have names most of the time in Chumash in particular. So where do the names come from? So if you look at source number 7, this really blew my mind. I don't know if people knew this before, but I think that this is truly fascinating, and we'll have a little piece that I just discovered last week that will come momentarily. So the Talmud Yerushalmi on Masechet Rosh Hashanah, when it's discussing all the different beginnings of the years and how we count the different months, there's this long discussion and somewhat of an argument about how we know what the names of the different months are called. And at the very end of it, the Amar Rabbi Chanina, we kind of have this concluding statement, Shemot Chadashim Alu Biadam Mi Bavel. New names came up with the Jews from Babylon, from Babylonia. That really, everyone's arguing about what the correct name of the Jewish months are, but it really is of little significance because at the end of the day, we now have an entire new roster of names based on those the Jews brought back with them from their exile in Babylonia. And he now explains, or Rabbi Chanina explains, Barishona, originally, meaning during the time of the Chumash, B'Yerach Ha'Itanim, we would refer to something as Yerach Itanim, the moon of, or the month of Itanim, meaning the strong ones, or the splendid, the mighty ones. And why would it be called Yerach Itanim? Shebo noldu avot, meitu avot, nifkadu imahot. During this year, during this month, the Mesorah has it that many of the Avot were born, many of them died, and obviously what's the requirement in order for Avot to be born is that the Imahot were Nifkadu, that Hashem remembered many of the mothers who were barren, and they were able to conceive, and obviously that's the precursor for some of the Avot being born. So the Avot are seen as strong ones, as mighty, both in terms of their physical strength and in terms of their stature in Jewish history and their contributions to the world. And so the month which is most closely associated to their birth is known as Yerach Itanim, the month of the mighty. Similarly, Barishona originally, meaning in the time of the Chumash, B'Yerach Bull, we would term a certain month Yerach Bull, the month of Bull. Shebo ha'ale novel, va'aretz asiyah bulot, shebo bolilin la behima mitoch habayit. We're going to talk about this one a little later because it connects to what we're talking about next. But basically, this is the month, the Shoresh of Bul has to do with withering and decaying, and this is the month of the year when agricultural things, the plants start to wither and die. And one last example, Barishona originally, we would call it Yerach Ziv, the month of Ziv, Shebo Zivo Shel Olam. This is the month of the radiance of the world. What does that mean? Hatzmachim Nikarin, V'ha'ilanot Nikarin. The shoots and the plants and also the trees are recognizable, meaning they're beginning to flower, to blossom. You can once again see that there's life in nature all around you. So these are the original names that we do have in Chumash to refer to the months of the year. Mikan Vehelach, however, Rabbi Chanina says, now that the Jews have come back from Babylon, what names do we use? Vayehi b'chodesh Nisan, Shnat Esrim, right? We have examples in Nehemiah of Chodesh Nisan, Vayehi b'chodesh Kislev, Shnat Esrim, and in Esther, b'chodesh Asiri, hu chodesh Tevet. All the names that we know of, Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev Tevet. Okay, I could keep going, but you got the idea. All of those came from the Babylonian. And we see that idea is again repeated by the Ibn Ezra in his Pirush on Devarim. He says a similar idea. Et Chodesh Ha'aviv, v'da ki ein l'chodeshim b'lashon ha'kodesh shemot. In Hebrew, the months don't have names. Ki Nisan, Sivan, Gam Kislev, Gam Tevet, Gam Adar, Shehem, Nizkarim b'mikra, Hem lashon kazdim. All of these names that we hear throughout Nach, primarily, Nisan, Sivan, Kislev, Tevet, and Adar, they're Chaldean in origin. Alkin Amar, hu Chodesh Nisan. That's why in Megillat Esther, it has to specifically tell us, FYI, this month that we're referring to is actually Chodesh Nisan, because people wouldn't have necessarily known that it was the same. They wouldn't have known how to match up the numerical count of the biblical months with the names of the Chaldean or Babylonian origin. And he again repeats similarly to the Talmud Yerushalmi, the only names that we have in Chumash are things, Rakmatzinu, Ziv, Itanim, Ubul, those are the only ones we know. So now comes the little bit of the fun part. We're going to do a little bit of Akkadian etymology for a couple of minutes before we continue on with the final piece of this year. So if you look in Source 9, these are actually the names based on the most common phonetic spellings that are found in translations of Akkadian, Sumerian, Babylonian, and Assyrian sources, all these clay tablets that they found. And they divided up their year, again, similar to the Jewish calendar, both in terms of solar things and in terms of lunar things. You can see there are three sections. Resh Sati, which means beginning of the year, like Shana, Resh Shana. Mishil Shati, which means the middle of the year. And Kit Shati, which means the end of the year, or towards the close of the year. And within each of those seasonal segments of the year, Tkufot HaShana, we have the different months. Nisanu, Ayaru, Simanu, Damuzu. I won't read all of them, but you can see that the Akkadian or Chaldean is first, and then the corresponding modern Hebrew month as we know it, it follows in parentheses. And they also have this dual aspect where some of the month names come from agriculturally significant things and some of them come from culturally significant things. For example, Dumuzu, or what we call Tammuz, this one blew my mind that we still call it Tammuz, is actually the name of a Sumerian idol. So, go figure. And similarly, again, cultural things, we have Tishritu means beginnings, the month of beginnings, and that also corresponds beautifully to the idea of Tishri being Rosh Hashanah. But we also have some of the agricultural significance. We have Tebetu means the month of the beginning of waters, right? And you can imagine like spring rain and the, you know, not that the heavy precipitation of the winter months, but the softer rains that follow in early spring. And specifically the month that I would like to focus on because it's the month we just finished and will give us hopefully a little bit of a perspective as we continue on into Kislev is Samnu, or as we call it today, Cheshvan. Now, if you happen to look at those two, they really don't look like they match at all. But this is the really fascinating thing, is that each of these names are typically preceded in the Akkadian documents by the word Arach, which is phonetically similar to the word yerach, which in Hebrew often corresponds or typically means month, right, the moon of or the month of. And so they would call it arach tzamnu, which, fascinatingly, after about 500 years, they switched some of their phonetic sounds so that it would actually have been pronounced marach tzamnu, which starts to sound very similar to mar cheshvan. And one of my professors, actually, at Revel, the Graduate School for Judaic Studies at Yeshiva University, is a specialist in ancient Near Eastern history. And he said that it's a misnomer that we think of Mar Cheshvan as being divided into Mar and Cheshvan. In reality, the phonetic divide should be Marach Ashvan, or Ashmu, depending on the pronunciation. And the exact definition in Akkadian means eighth month, which perfectly matches the biblical tradition, right, in Torah, of counting the months by number instead of by name. So that's just a little something. And now, specifically, I want to take the last few minutes we have. I know they're coming in for Maariv in a little bit. I want to focus specifically on Chodesh Cheshvan. As we just said, the name that we know of most famously, Chodesh Cheshvan, comes from the Akkadian or the Chaldean. So what is the name in the Chumash? There are a few months that are actually given Hebrew names in the Chumash, and this happens to be one of them. So if you look in source 10, we learn when Shlomo, after an entire parak of about 30 some odd psukim, describing how Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash and all the kelim, and he set up all the different pillars and the Yamshel Shlomo and all these fancy wonderful things, it finally tells us, Ubishana chatesrei b'yerach bul, ding ding ding, hu hachodesh hashmini, it tells us, at the end of the 11th month of his reign, in the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, he finished the building and all of its accoutrements, all the vessels and everything that was part of it, all of the specifications required, and it took him 7 years to build. And Rashi on that pasuk, which is somewhat into the next section of agricultural significance, so I give you full permission to skip to that next source. Verse 11, Rashi says, "B'yerach bol humar cheshvan." We'll pause there for a second, right? So he says, again, counting, using the Torah tradition of counting, starting from Nisan is Chodesh 1. How do you get to month number 8? You count from Nisan, and you end up with Cheshvan. So when it says, B'yerach bol hu chodesh hashmini, both Rashi and most of Chazal learn that this was Chodesh Cheshvan. So now that we know that the Akkadian tradition is Cheshvan, but the Hebrew tradition, or more Hebraic and Judaic tradition, is Yerach Bol, let's look there for a deeper understanding of what exactly this month is all about. And we'll use the same two approaches that we've been using throughout to understand the temporal divisions in Judaism, both the agricultural approach and the historical cultural approach. So first we'll start with the agricultural approach. This time of year, what's going on agriculturally? Guess what? Chazal tell us. Rashi in source 11. Beyerach bol, humar cheshvan. Why is it called bol? Shaha'isav bala basada, uvolodin la behema binabayit, milashon vayivala chamorim. What happens during this month that has it associated with the shoresh of bul? Two things. Number one, the grain and the grass in the field begins to decay and wither and die. And in addition, we mix fodder for the animals from a combination of that which has been recently harvested and that which was already stored. And how do we learn this idea of bolilin l'behema? It's based on a source in Shoftim, in the whole saga of Pilagesh Begiva. At one point, they head into a city and they need a place to stay, and an old man offers them a place to stay. And in addition, vayivie leveito, vayivolach amorim, vayirchatu raglayam, vayachlu vayishtu. Right? He takes them into his house and he mixes food for their animals. Chazal explained, what is the mixing? It's mixing the current harvest with that which has been stored. And the significance of this is that it's the end of the harvest. There's no longer a ton of wild hay and straw growing in the sloughs that you can go gather and bring in. You have to use some of what you've already gathered because it's the end of the season. And so, too, the plants are beginning to wither and die. particularly here with lovely fall weather and fall colors, you can really see that happening. Radak has a slightly different approach. What's the other agricultural significance of this month? Humar Chashvan, Kemosha Amar, Hu Chodesh Hashmini, V'nikrachin, Mipnei Hagshamim, Shematchilin, Bo Inyan Mabul. So he sees something different in the word bul. He picks up on a different shoresh, that of Mabul, meaning flood. And he connects it to the idea that during the end of the late fall and early winter season, we begin to see heavier precipitation, and connects it to the idea of the flood. He also quotes the same opinion from the Talmud Yerushalmi that Rashi quoted, and quotes it as Devei Chazal. So now we have two different ideas from the agricultural perspective. Plants are withering and heavy rain starting. Now let's take a minute to look at the historical significance. So we are going to speed through these. The first is the flood, right? We have the great flood in the time of Noah is associated with Cheshvan. How do we know this? The Pasuk tells us in Bereishit, Bishnat Sheish Meot Shana L'Chayi Noah, in his 600th year, B'chodesh HaSheni, again, right, lunar month, in the second month. So interestingly enough, this is counting from Tishrei, if we see this as Cheshvan, but we'll come to that in a second. B'shivasar Yom L'chodesh, B'yom Hazeh Nivke'u Kol HaMayonot Tehom Rabah V'arubot HaShemayim Niftechu. Right, the heavens open and the ground opens and there's water everywhere. And Rashi on that pasuk tells us b'chodesh hasheni. What does this mean? So here, there's actually a machloket. We're gonna follow Rov HaPoskim, if we can say. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Zemar Cheshvan, Rabbi Yoshua Omer Ze'iyar. So we're gonna follow Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the second month is actually Mar Cheshvan, which in terms of agriculture and seasons makes more sense in terms of heavy rain, but obviously the Mabul wasn't exactly a seasonal occurrence. But we will see that is maybe a little different. So this, according to one which has become more accepted, Derech, in Chazal, the Mabul happens in Chodesh Cheshvan. And it tells us, Vayi HaGeshem al-Aretz Arba'im Yom V'Arba'im Laila, the Pasuk tells us, lasted for 40 days. And the Medrash Tanchuma reads into this a fascinating idea. V'ata, Motzei Minot Hasha'a Ad Shebana Shlomo Bit HaMikdash Arba'im Yom Hayu Osim Kshamim Kol Shana V'Shana V'Shum Meha Mabul Shayu Arba'im Yom Uch Shebana Shlomo Bit HaMikdash V'Kish Rachamim Aleim U'Pasku Mena Olam Sh'ne'amar U'Shana Echad Eser V'Yerach Bo. The Medrash Tanchuma gives us a fascinating explanation as to why the Pasuk tells us that Shlomo finished building the Beit HaMikdash in Chodesh Bo. Where does this name come from? And the Medrash Tanchuma learns that every year, since the flood in the time of Noah, there was a 40-day period of extremely heavy rains, starting in Cheshvan, to kind of as an homage to the Mabul itself in the time of Noah, and that rain continued throughout the generations until Shlomo finished building the Beit HaMikdash. And at that point, he davened that those annual heavy rains should stop, and in commemoration of the fact that they did, they named the month Mabul, or they named the month Bul, kind of in connection to Mabul. The Chumat Anach makes the semantics even cleaner. He says, V'yerach bol, amru b'tanchuma parshat noach, t'vizman ma'abol, b'chol shana yu arba'im yom kshamim b'cheshvan, ad shebana shlomo b'tamikdash, v'yitzpalel shifzku elu ad shamim, v'lakach k'tiv yerach bol, chaser mi ma'abol, v'nishar bol. What was missing after Shlomo davened? 40 days of rain. Quick Gematria review, 40 in Gematrias corresponds to the letter men. So we take the word Mabul, we take the word flood, we lose those 40 days of annual heavy rains, and we're left with the month of Bul. So now we'll just do the last few sources outside, because I know they're just about ready to dive in. I think I have 2 minutes, but we'll use what we have. Hopefully they'll be okay. So if you look, there's two other historical occurrences that our Mesorah associates with Chodesh Cheshvan. First we have the Mabul, and now we have two more. The second one is also connected to the Mabul. If you look in Source 19, Hashem says that Ki Layamim Od Shiva Anochi Mamtir. When he's telling Noach about the flood, he says, in another 7 days, he gives Noach this whole warning, and he says, by the way, in another 7 days, I'm bringing a flood. Not right now. He gives him 7 days additional warning beyond the many months he gave him time to build the teva. And the question is why? And Rashi has this beautiful pshat. These were the 7 days of Shiva, for Metushelach, who lived for a very, very long time. And Hashem, out of kavod for the tzaddik, he wanted people to be able to properly mourn him. He said, I'm going to postpone the mabul another 7 days beyond my original plan, and so that people can properly mourn Metushelach, and then I'll bring the flood. So another thing we have associated with Cheshvan is this idea of the death of Metushelach and the beginning of a new generation, a new era, with Noach and his sons post-Mabel. And finally, the last historical thing we have in connection to Cheshvan, we have in the Yalkut Shimoni, and again in the Book of Jubilees, which is an apocryphal book, we have the idea that Binyamin, based on the Seder Olam, Binyamin was born on the 11th of Cheshvan, and because we know from Chumash that Rachel died in childbirth, giving birth to Binyamin, we can infer that Rachel's death must have been on that same day that Binyamin was born. So we have these three historical and culturally significant things happening in Cheshvan. We have the flood, the destruction of the natural world as we know it, the death of Metushelach, who really was the end of an era, right? We know we have 10 generations from Adam to Noach, and then another 10 from Noach to Abraham. So we have the end of this time period and the beginning of another. And we have the death of Rachel and the birth of Binyamin. And all of these, again, just as we had with the year overall, with the holidays and with the months, we again see this theme where there's the agricultural message of the death and decaying, and then so too the historical message. And the beautiful thing, if we could just take 30 more seconds, is the idea of moving forward. Now, Cheshvan is over, and we're moving into Kislev. And the idea is really to take that message of Cheshvan and the message of the decay of the natural world and to see beyond that and to see that what's coming ahead. Right? Obviously, Hanukkah is a little bit of a spark, I would say. It's not the same as the spring. It's a little bit of light in the dead of winter, something to look forward to. And so we really, again, see these parallels, right? With the flood, we have the loss of the leader in Metushelach and the beginning of a new generation leader in Noah. We see the idea of the Jewish destiny, the death of Rachel, and the birth of Binyamin, Rachel associated with exile, right? Bnei Israel being going out to Galut Bavel and Rachel crying for them, whereas Binyamin's associated with Ge'ulah, and the Beit HaMikdash is built in his Nachala. And so too, in nature, we see the plants dying, whereas in spring, they're blossoming, right, after the winter. And the calendar, again, we have Cheshvan, this idea of Mar Cheshvan. If we take away the official Akkadian reading, and we think of the traditional bitter Cheshvan. Why is it bitter? There are no chagim, no holidays, in contrast to Hanukkah, which is the idea of full of light and full of celebration. And just one last thing I'd like to leave you with is the idea that really, if you look in the biblical arc of this time period, we're going from Chag HaSukkot, which was our most recent biblical Chag. The next Chag on the calendar is Chag HaPesach. It's a long time away. There's a long, dark winter in between. And really, the idea of Cheshvan and then the spark of Hanukkah and Kislev is we finished one harvest with Sukkot in Tishrei, and we finished off that spiritual high and all of the Chagim. And a farmer will tell you, when does next year's harvest start? The day after you finish last year's harvest. As soon as you finish putting away the last potato in the cellar, it's time to start ordering seeds and plowing the fields and things like that to get things ready. And it's the same idea with Chodshei HaShanah, that it's taking what we have now, what we sow now in the months that seem dark and that seem all decaying and withering, and planting them now, God willing, for Pesach in the spring. Thank you very much.